Welcome to D&B College. Today we're building something with character. We're making an echo chamber VHS rave stab in Ableton Live 12, and the goal is simple. Get that worn, unstable, old sampler energy, but keep it tight enough to actually work in a drum and bass arrangement. So think of the sound as a short chord hit that feels like it got dragged through a warehouse PA, a tape machine, and a half-broken sampler, but it still lands cleanly with a kick and snare. That balance is the whole game. You are not just designing a cool sound in solo. You're building a musical punctuation mark for a real D&B track. This kind of stab works beautifully in intros, breaks, pre-drop tension, and drops that need a hook without clobbing the low end. It can act like a call to the drums, a response to the snare, or a little bit of menace right before the arrangement opens up. That's why it matters. D&B moves fast. And the best identity sounds are the ones that read instantly and survive a dense mix. Start with a simple instrument on a MIDI track. Wave-eatable, analog, or operator all work. If you want something immediate and old school, analog is great. If you want tighter control before you degrade it, operator is a strong choice. And if you want that more modern source that you can rough up later, wave-eatable is perfect. Keep the harmony compact. You do not need a lush pad chord here. Go for a minor triad. A minor 7 without the extra fluff or even just root, minor 3rd, 5th, and octave. The idea is to make it read instantly in the midrange. At D&B tempos, there is not much room before the drums and bass come back in, so the sound has to say something fast. Make the notes short. Think roughly an eighth note to a quarter note, then shorten them until they feel like a hit rather than a held chord. Keep the velocity fairly consistent, somewhere around 85 to 110. So the character comes from the design and not random velocity swings. What to listen for here is the first 100 to 200 milliseconds. If the chord already feels like a pad, it's too long. You want a stab that announces itself immediately. Now shape the envelope so it behaves more like percussion than harmony. Fast attack, short decay, low sustain, and a short release. Usually that means attack near zero. Decay somewhere around 150 to 350 milliseconds, and release short enough that the tail gets out of the way quickly. If your synth has a pitch or filter envelope, you can add a tiny bit of movement at the front for that rave sample feel, but keep it subtle, just enough to make it bite. If the synth itself doesn't give you enough movement, put auto filter after it. A low pass filter somewhere in the 1.5 to 5 kHz range is a strong starting point. Add a bit of resonance, but don't let it squeal. The goal is attack. Then a fast taper. That's what keeps the sound punchy and prevents it from stepping all over the snare pocket. And this is a big one for D&B. Why this works is because the stab becomes percussive. It behaves like an instrument that leaves space for the backbeat. If it hangs on too long, it blurs the groove and makes the track feel slower, even if the BPM is fast. Next, we build the VHS character. This is where the sound gets its memory. Put saturator after the synth or after the filter. Then add redux only if you need more roughness. A good starting chain is your synth, then auto filter, then saturator, then redux, then EQ8. Start with saturator drive around 2 to 6 dB. Use soft clipping if the stab needs more density. That gives you body and urgency. Then bring in redux lightly, just enough to roughen the top and give you that old digital dust. Don't destroy the sound. You want the feeling of degradation, not a broken file. If redux goes too far, the stab starts sounding cheap and brittle instead of nostalgic and dangerous. What to listen for is thickness and urgency. The stab should feel bigger and more alive, not just louder or more distorted. If the top gets glassy or harsh, back off the reduction and let EQ do the cleanup later. Now decide on the stereo strategy. This is a real creative choice. You can go wider and more euphoric, or you can keep it narrow and heavy. If you want the wider VHS rave feeling, you can use a bit of detune or a subtle chorus ensemble style spread. That works nicely for intros, transitions, and second drop moments. But for the main drop, a narrower core is usually safer. Keep the energy centered, and let the grit come from saturation and filtering instead of huge stereo width. In D&B, this matters a lot. Wide low mids can collapse fast on a club system. Something that feels massive in headphones can turn messy the second the sub and kick hit. So if you do widen the sound, keep the body under control and avoid stereo motion below about 200 to 300 Hz. Now EQ it into the track. EQ 8 is where this sound becomes usable. High pass the stab somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz, depending on how thick the source is. If it feels boxy, cut a little around 250 to 500 Hz. If it's fighting the snare crack or the main presence area, try a small notch somewhere around 2.5 to 4.5 kHz. And if the top end feels too modern or fizzy, gently roll it down above 8 to 10 kHz. What to listen for here is whether the stab still reads after the high pass. If it becomes weak, the problem is usually the source voicing, not the EQ. The best version should still sound like the same character, just cleaned up enough to live with the drums. At this point, print it. Resample the stab to audio. This is a really important move, because once you've got the flavor, you want to treat it like a sample, not a synth patch you keep endlessly tweaking. That's when it starts feeling like a real record element. Create an audio track, resample or record the processed stab, and capture a few passes. Then trim the best moments and make a few versions, a full hit, a shorter tail, maybe a reversed pickup, maybe a stuttered fragment. This is where it becomes D&B ready. You're no longer thinking, how do I design the sound? You're thinking, how do I place this like a record idea? A great way to phrase it is like question and answer. Put the stab on the offbeat after the snare for bounce, or just before the snare for tension. In a two-bar phrase, let the strongest stab land in the second bar so it feels like it's lifting the section forward. That tiny choice changes the energy more than another plugin ever will. What to listen for now is whether the stab and snare feel like they belong together. A good stab should answer the drums, not fight them. If it clashes with the snare, shorten the decay, move it a few milliseconds, or reduce the stereo spread. Small changes can completely fix the groove. Then automate it, but keep the motion narrow and intentional. This sound should evolve across phrases, not constantly wiggle every bar. Open the filter a little across an intro or break. Nudge the saturator drive up for a lift into the drop. Use a touch of reverb or delay if you want that echo chamber feel, but keep it controlled. If you use echo or simple delay, go for short sync times like 1/8, dotted 1/8, or 1/4, and keep the feedback low to moderate. Filter the repeats darker than the dry hit. That way the front edge stays readable while the tail creates space and memory. That's the whole echo chamber idea right there. And again, why this works in D&B is because the repeat can feel atmospheric without smearing the groove. If the reverb or delay starts masking the kick or snare, it's too much. High pass the return, shorten the tail or reduce the feedback. Now bring the stab into a real drum and bass loop. Don't judge it in isolation. Put it against kick, snare, hats, and bass. Check whether it lands in a way that feels deliberate. Check whether the kick transient stays clean. Check whether the bass and the stab are stepping into the same low-mid zone. If the bass disappears under it, the stab is probably too wide, too long, or too full in the wrong range. This is where a lot of people get tricked by solo listening. The stab can sound fantastic on its own and still fail in context. So use the drums as the truth test. If it still feels exciting when the full loop is playing, you've got the right idea. Now think arrangement, not loop. A VHS rave stab really shines when it has a roll. In the intro, use it as a filtered tease. In the first drop, keep it dry, rhythmic, and locked in. In the second drop, make it harsher, wider, or more degraded. That gives the listener memory and progression. You can even build two versions, a clean ugly version and a dirty ugly version. Same MIDI idea, different treatment. The cleaner one holds the intro and main drop together. The dirtier one comes in for fills, switch-ups, and the second drop. That gives you contrast without rebuilding the sound every time. And if you want a strong rule to keep in mind, it's this. Move the sound only when the phrase changes. Don't over-automate every bar. Let the motif breathe. In D&B, movement is powerful when it feels like arrangement, not decoration. Before you call it done, check mono. Make sure the sound doesn't disappear or go facey when the stereo field collapses. If it does, narrow the core, reduce the tune, and keep the low mid body centered. The club will thank you. A stab that survives mono and still hits over the drums is a much more professional result than one that just sounds huge in headphones. What to listen for in mono is loss of body, disappearing attack, or a weird phase smear. If that happens, simplify the stereo processing before you add more effects. A few quick pro moves here. Let the stab answer the snare rather than compete with it. Use controlled detune instead of giant chorus. Darken the repeats, not the original hit. Saturate the mid-range, not the sub. And if the sound is close but not quite there, resist the urge to stack more processing. Often the better fix is shorter tail, better timing, or a cleaner EQ carve. So here's the big recap. Build the stab from a compact chord or interval. Shape it like percussion. Add saturation and just enough degradation to give it VHS character. High pass the low end so the kick and sub stay in charge. Resample early so it feels like a real sample. Place it with intention against the snare and bassline. Keep the stereo discipline tight. Use automation sparingly and musically. And always judge it in context, not just in solo. If you do that, you'll get a stab that feels nostalgic, unstable, and rhythmic, but still sits properly in the mix. Not just a cool sound, a real identity cue for the track. Now take the 15-minute practice challenge and build one usable version in a 16-bar loop. Then push it a step further and make the two-version system, one clean ugly stab for the intro, one dirtier version for the drop. Same phrase, different energy. That's the kind of move that makes a tune feel arranged instead of assembled. Go make it hit.